You're listening to the Ken on Food podcast, and this is episode 11, or the one where I'm joined in studio by Ballykeefe distillery owner Morgan Ging to talk all things farming, distillation, spirits, and supporting his local community. So this is the Ken on Food podcast. My name is Ken McGuire, and this week it's Morgan Ging in studio as part of the Ken on Food series on air on KCLR with the Nooked Restaurant. This is to talk all about Ballykeefe Distillery. The distillery is located roughly 10-15 minutes max outside of Kilkenny City, and on site and on the farm they're producing award-winning spirits through the family business. While they've been scooping up the accolades for their gin and their vodka and their poaching, the countdown is on to the first batch of Ballykeefe whiskey. I chat with Morgan about that, about transitioning from farming to spirit production, and how he's been able to give back, and why, to his local community and support those who are supporting him. I'll let him make the introductions.
Good afternoon to you, Ken, and your listeners.
Good afternoon, indeed. Thanks a million for taking the time out of your day to come in. Morgan, from the little that I know about you, and we might get to know a bit more over the next 10 minutes or so, your background, as I think it is anyway, in farming, beef, tillage farming, and that has kind of segued into the whole magical world of drinks and the distillery. How does something like that happen?
Well, I'm a beef and tillage farmer predominantly. Farming is a tough game to be in, especially in the beef and tillage end of it. My family have been farming for generations, so I wanted to continue that, and my son wanted to farm. So we looked at the whole business model we had at the time, and we wanted to diversify. I didn't want to just put in something that was different to what I was doing. Sure. So for the distillation then was perfect, because we grew the malting barley anyway on the farm. Yeah. And then there's byproducts from the distillation process, distiller's grain and pot ale, and that goes to beef animals. So it sits in sync with what we were doing. It's an add-on to the business.
Okay, and had you experienced yourself in the distillation side of things before, or was this kind of a let's see the tools that we have at hand and where we can go?
I hadn't anything done with it before, but I had researched it.
Okay.
We looked at it about 25, 26 years ago with my father, and he was very much in favour of doing it. In a way, we couldn't get a licence at the time. There was a couple of big boys in the country. The door was closed. But it was good that it didn't happen back 25 years ago, because Irish whiskey was in the doldrums and there was no renaissance in it back then. You know, the chances are it mightn't have succeeded. Whereas today, sure, there's huge growth in the Irish spirit business, especially in the gins and vodkas and the whiskies worldwide, actually. So we have something that's, you know, it's becoming an international brand at the moment.
So you've got the first batch of the whiskey is coming down the line. You have the countdown timer that's running on the website at the minute.
Yes, we're very excited.
To get there, you started with the clear spirits. How have they been going for you?
The gin, we have gin, vodka and poutine. Funny, the poutine, we put it on as a novelty. You know, we weren't expecting it, but it's after winning a lot of awards and it is one of our best sellers. We serve it with ginger ale and a slice of orange, and it is just flying. I'm just flabbergasted with the amount of that's selling. And it takes from our whiskey, because it actually is our unaged whiskey. So, you know, we've less casks laying down because of the poutine. But, you know, as my bank manager once said to me, never be afraid to make a profit.
Well, that's it. Get the cash flow
with
going
the gin,
first.
The gin has won several gold awards, and the vodka became Irish Vodka 2019. It won that award this year. So we've 16 international awards since we opened.
Had you envisioned that? When you say you go for your first brew, had you kind of forecast that and go, do you know what, lads, 2-3 years time, no problem, the gold medals are going to be swinging around these bottles, we are going to the top of the game? What was the plan?
The plan was, when we developed our gin, the plan was to have a gin that non-gin drinkers would like as well as gin drinkers. myself personally, I'm not a gin drinker.
Sure.
But I wanted a gin that I could drink. So that's the gin we developed. Awards weren't in the picture at the time. You know, which new distillery, we weren't expecting to win.
Yeah, yeah.
But the first award came in was third in the world in the San Francisco Awards, and that was 3 months into production. And we knew then we had something special, and we've won gold and double gold since then with our gins. And our slow gin has actually won this year, has won the World Liqueur Award. So we're, you know, the product is good. It's not just us saying it, it is the people in the
sure.
know are saying it as well. So, you know, we've also gone nationwide with Super Value with True Musgraves.
Yep.
That's very big for a small company like us. So we're able to now supply all around the country. And we've also signed up a distribution with two different distributors in Ireland as well. So we can hit restaurants, pubs, wherever we need to go. So it's starting to move very, very quickly. We've signed a nationwide distribution in the last 3 months with Italy. You know, 60 million people. Mm. It's good. It's very good. And we're on our second order already with that company. So things are moving fast for us.
Was it tricky at first to get in? Like, do you remember your first customer? I know we're talking. You're obviously a supplier into Enoch as well. But that the kind of first time of going out and seeing your brand and seeing the bottles that are there on the shelf and seeing them appear in the menu. Have things gotten that little bit easier since? Or?
Things have got a lot easier. When you start out, there's a lot of gins, vodkas, a lot of spirit on the market. So to get a distributor to take you on when his shelves are full is difficult. It's very difficult, actually. So, you know, we took us 18 months to get onto a distribution network. Our first customer was the Wine Centre here in Kilkenny.
Very good.
We went in with one case to them and they said, yes, certainly bring it in. Our local Super Value in Callan was also thereabouts taking us on. I went in one day with a box under my arm. He said, put it up on the shelf. Let's see what happens.
Sound.
You know, they were sound and it took off from there. So now we're in all the outlets here in Kilkenny.
Yep.
Lyrat serving gin and vodka in it. We're in Mount Juliet, Paris, Texas. You know, Matt DeMillers, everyone has come on board and supported. And I have to thank them publicly because without their support, Ballykeith Distillery wouldn't be where it is today. So a big thank you to all the people in Kilkenny and our customers that have supported us. It's meant a lot to us.
Absolutely. Talk to me a little bit about the whisky side of things. It's certainly more of a long game. Like you're saying, the more you're doing on the clear product might take a little bit from the stock that you need in order to keep the whisky fed. But what's going to happen there? I cop the countdown timer is at just over a year away at this stage. Is this the next phase for Ballykeith?
Well, Ballykeith was set up predominantly as a whiskey distillery.
Mm.
So we've 3 copper pot stills. We triple distill all our spirits. The growing of the barley is you know, very close to my heart, to grow your own malt and barley. And then to see it turned into spirit is just phenomenal. We have 3 different types of whiskey. We have traditional Irish pot still whiskey, which is 60% malt and 40% unmalted barley. We have single estate malt whiskey. And we also grew rye barley on the farm a couple of years ago, and we have converted that into whiskey as well. So we have 100% rye whiskey coming on stream as well. So from August next year, the end of August next year, we'll be releasing the pot still. A couple of months later, the malt, and then a few months after that, we'll have the rye whiskey available.
Good stuff. It's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on for that one. If you go through your own website, Morgan, it's obviously quite comprehensive in telling the backstory of the business and the backstory of the farming side of things. A topic that's come up kind of again and again, whether it's with Malevan or if it was with Julie and the lads out in Highbank, is the sustainability and the organic side of things. You're obviously very passionate from the conversation here. The passion is there, the knowledge is there. You're very much keeping everything in house, like you're saying. You're able to use the byproducts. They're going off. They're looking after the cattle. That's your return on one side. Or organic and keeping things that way. Is there a challenge in that for you? Is it a tricky space, or it's now like this is what we're doing, and this is day to day.
I don't see it as work. For me, everyone has to do their part for our environment. You know, we're suffering with the weather, whether it be last year with extreme heat, this year, it's raining, it's difficult harvest time for farmers. And as a farmer, when you listen to the news, everything that is on the news is directly affecting you, whether it be the weather, whether it be Brexit, whatever, it's affecting you. So for me, when we sat down as a family and we decided we were going to do this distillery, it was not going to be a burden on the environment. It had to fit in. It had to pass on to the next generation, and I didn't want them having to correct things that I did. So to use all the byproducts on the farm is for me the number one thing. There's no waste leaves the site whatsoever. So that's very important. For me, I'm doing my bit for the environment, and a lot of other people are doing the same thing. So together, as a country, the people of it can make a change, whether our politicians have the backbone to make the decisions that are important for us, rather than just coming on with a carbon tax and hitting people that way. You know, we have to do the physical to make the change. And, you know, it's very disappointing to see our government cutting our beef herd here when it's the most sustainable in Europe, in the world nearly. You know, our beef is very green, and we're going to export cars now down to Brazil and South America there. And, you know, we're cutting down the rainforest so that deal can go ahead, so they can produce beef down there and send it up to us. It just doesn't make sense. So for me, I'm going to do my bit, and, you know, I will speak out where I see it wrong as well.
What does a typical day involve for you? And I've put it to people in different kind of food sectors. Everybody's got a different story. What's yours?
Typical day for me is I am in the distillery at 6 a.m. I always make it a point to be in the distillery at 6 a.m. Put on a brew, put on distills. That takes approximately an hour and 45 minutes to get the distillery up and running, and then back in, have breakfast with the family, and goes off to work. And if it's during the school term, bring Aiden to school, then back out to the distillery, and there would be emails to be answered at that stage, and also then we would have bottling going on at the same time. So it's just a constant day in the distillery. Tours, we have tours running from 2 o'clock to four. At four o'clock starts as well. So Sinead looks after the tours for, along with my daughter Sarah, and they're quite busy at the moment. People love the tour when they come out to us. We recommend you have a driver or come with a taxi, because we like people to.
There might be a sample involved.
Yes. And then after that, staff will go home, and it's time to tidy up, look after the cattle, and attend to other emails that I didn't get to during the day. So back in for the evening meal with family, and usually then if we have an order in, we will bottle then in the evening when the family are available.
Very much a family enterprise.
It is. Yeah. It's all hands on. You know, we do, everything is done by hand, bottling, labelling, boxing, so everything is done by hand at the moment.
One thing I wanted to ask you before we wrap it up, you obviously have, there is on paper anyway, seems like there's an element of giving back. You've got the association with the gigs at the amphitheatre, the Camogie Club, the Hurling Club side of things. What's your involvement there?
The involvement there is the amphitheatre. I just see the volunteers. It's a purely voluntary run place, but professionally done. Mm-hmm. It is just phenomenal, and the gigs they get out there, the acts are top notch, and to see everyone in the local community out there pulling their weight and doing their bit, and like, it's Matt O'Sullivan's vision out there with Teddy Marlell and Martina and all the crew there doing their bit. And for me, I just don't have the physical time to give my own time to it, but I give some sponsorship to them. Sure. Because for me, you know, the arts are important. People need to come, relax and enjoy, and you just have to experience it out there, how professionally it's done by a group of volunteers, not for profit, and to see the sound there. Every act that comes out there complements the sound. And we were there with Ronan Tynan the other evening, and the rain just came straight down, no one left. Sitting in front of me was two ladies at 80 years of age, and they were just jiving and enjoying themselves.
Happy out.
It's just the atmosphere there is something else. With the GAA, the Camogie Club, and the Great Ballycannon Hurlers, those people all, when they first found out we were going to build a distillery on site, the amount of support I got was just phenomenal from the well-wishers and said, we'll support you. And they would ask for our product in town, you know, which would encourage the outlets in town to take us on. And my daughter played camogie and the lads playing hurling. So for me, it was a natural way of giving back to those people to say, thank you. Look, you're supporting me and here's what I can give a little bit back to support you guys. And, you know, they are a phenomenal club and they're the Great Ballycallan are 50 years this year, which is just, you know, it's to say that, that these are all voluntary people giving their time every weekend there in the evenings. And it's just a small thing to say thank you to them for the support.
Well, that seems like a fairly positive note to leave things on. Morgan King, Ballykeith Distillery, thanks a million
for
taking the time of your day.
My
love
pleasure.
The conversation.
So that's Morgan King, and in the time since we recorded the segment, there's now 325 days to go to the release of their whiskey, or if you want to save the maths, they've got September the 1st, 2020 penciled in as the launch date. Their gin took gold at the World Gin Awards for 2019. Their Poitiers was awarded Masterclass at the 2018 Global Spirits Masters, and a further award of gold at the Irish Whiskey Awards for 2018. Their vodka won Best Irish Vodka at the Irish Whiskey Awards for 2018. As well, you can find out more online, check out the website, it's Ballykeith with 1F distillery.ie. Next week I'm back on the restaurant trail for the Food Provenance Award with a lunchtime stop at Billy Burns on John Street in Kilkenny. If you like the podcasts, leave a review wherever you get yours, or better still, if you'd like to be part of the conversation, I'd love to talk to you wherever you are in the world. Email me, it's ken@kenonfood.com. If it's your first time listening, subscribe. There's loads gone before and there's plenty more to come. Until next time, good luck.